Fab Lab Podcast, Episode 8, Essential Steps to Successful Advertising for Stone Shops.
Welcome to the Fab Lab Podcast, brought to you by FabricatorsFriend.com. If you own or manage a stone shop and would like to reduce your frustration while increasing your profits, you've come to the right place. As the owner of a prominent Pacific Northwest stone shop with over two decades of experience and the author of the book Less Chaos, More Cash, our host knows more than just a little bit about the challenges of owning and operating a shop. You'll hear down-to-earth, real-life solutions you can implement today to calm your shop operation and generate more profit. Thanks for joining us, and here's our host, Aaron Crowley.
Welcome back to the Fab Lab Podcast, brought to you by FabricatorsFriend.com. I am your host, Aaron Crowley. Glad to have you back. It's great to be with you as we continue this theme, if you will, of advertising for stone shops. And in today's episode, we're going to look at seven essential steps to successful advertising. In the previous episode, we talked about the foundational principles, kind of the groundwork for successful advertising. In this episode, we're actually going to look at the practical step-by-step approach to successful advertising. I want to describe briefly a common experience for advertising decision making. This is how it would unfold in my business as I began to purchase advertising in the hopes of increasing the size of our business. I would be hoping for more sales, and a salesperson would call, or a salesperson would walk into the showroom. And whether they were promoting a high gloss affluent magazine, whether they were promoting the postcards for RSVP, of course, going to affluent and high income, you know, demographic, whether it was the Oregonian newspaper, whether it was radio stations, whether it was cable TV programming, no matter what it was, these salespeople would come in, and because I was already wanting more sales, I was an easy target. And they would tell me how big their audience was, how perfect a fit it was for my product, that they knew it was going to be fantastic, it was going to be a huge success. And I would invariably consider, well, if I don't do something else, I'm probably not going to see more increase in my sales. So I would sign on the dotted line. We would create the ads would run. I could rarely, if ever, point to any specific result from that advertising. So I was perpetually bouncing from one channel to the next, depending on the sales pitch, depending on the time of year, depending on my state of mind, depending on how good the salesperson was. And I saw very little return for my investment, and I became very frustrated. And so because I wasn't following a step-by-step sort of principled approach to advertising, A, I was an easy target for salespeople, and I wasted a lot of money. And B, the ultimate goal was never achieved. I was never able to see the cause and effect relationship between effective advertising and a growth in the number of qualified leads that either picked up the phone or walked into our showroom. And so that's common. And the way to avoid that is to follow a standardized, step-by-step, principled approach to advertising that prevents that common scenario from occurring and produces results. So let's get into it. The seven essential steps for successful advertising. I'm going to rattle them off really quickly, and then we'll talk about each one. So the first is establishing a budget. The second is evaluating the channels effectively. Number three is determining the necessary frequency for the ads, that's short-term and long-term. Number four is reevaluating your budget. Number five is creating your messaging. Number six is committing to the advertising with an escape clause. And number seven is measuring the results. So let's get into this. Number one, establish a budget. If you simply establish a budget up front, you have eliminated 95% of the chance that a salesperson is going to convince you to buy advertising from them. The great thing about establishing a budget is that it allows you to become disciplined. It allows you to know where you are at. And so when a salesperson picks up the phone or walks into your showroom, you can say, you know what? That sounds great. Unfortunately, I have already established my advertising budget for the year and all the money has already been allocated. Why don't you check back with me next year? Fantastic way of turning those good salespeople away. and not getting tripped up and stumbling into spending even more money. So what is a reasonable budget? Well, for retail business, you know, it depends on the industry, depends on the business, depends on the geography. But if you're spending 5 to 10% of your gross sales on advertising, that is a pretty substantial percentage. We spend probably between 5 and 7 of our gross sales on our advertising efforts. And so you look at what your gross sales were last year, you can get a relative idea of what your budget in theory should be. Now, this is also a function of cash flow. This is also a function of available resources. And so you can say, I'm going to spend 5 or 10% of my budget. But if you don't have 5% to 10% of retained earnings to invest in that advertising, well, you're going to have to work with what you've got. And that's where following these principles is so important, that even if you've got a limited budget, you can maximize its effectiveness, focus it in pinpointed accuracy, as opposed to spreading that limited budget over a bunch of different things that are going to be less effective in that manner. So number one is establish your budget. Step two is evaluate the channels. Now, if you listened to the previous episode, you'll remember that we talked about concentration of our target market. See, we've got to select a sliver of the marketplace who's looking for granite countertops for whom we are going to serve. And so when we are beginning to evaluate, whether it is high gloss quarterly affluent living magazines, whether it is the weekly newspaper, whether it is radio advertising, whether it is internet or cable TV, looking at those individual channels, those means by which our message will get to our target market, we need to begin to compare two variables. We have to know the cost of the channel to advertise, but we've also got to know the number of our target demographic, our target market within that audience. And so an advertising option that looks really fantastic and inexpensive may not have any of your target market in it. So while they've got a huge audience and it looks really cost-effective, it may be a complete waste of your money if there aren't enough of your target market in that audience. And so that becomes the question. You've got to compare the cost of the advertising with the number of your target market in each audience. And all advertising companies, whether it be print, radio, internet, TV, doesn't matter what it is, they all have pretty, I would say, categorized demographic information. And you have to tell them, I want you to show me in your data what your concentration of my demographic is. I'll tell you a quick story about that. Back when we were advertising, when we were getting into radio advertising, there were a couple of local personalities here in Portland. One guy named Lars Larson, who I'd met, I'd even had smoked cigars with him one time. Hugely popular, wildly popular and well-known guy, and I kind of agreed with him politically. Then there was this other guy who I wasn't that familiar with named Bob Miller. Very different audience sizes, and Lars Larson, the guy I kind of wanted to go with, was unbelievably expensive. His advertising was just through the roof, probably 2 to 3 times as what we were going to be able to pay for Bob Miller, this guy who is also known as the voice of Portland. He was in his late 60s, had been on the radio for like 35 years in Portland, but catered to the baby boom demographic. So when we asked, we said, well, we need to know the demographic information, and we knew who our target customer was. Females, 55 and older, living in Southwest Portland in the Southwest Corridor, home values of $500,000 or up, with an income of $100,000. When we asked them to present to us their demographic breakdown, it was amazing. Lars Larson, this guy I was actually considering advertising with, had virtually no audience in that demographic. Huge percentage of his audience was 18 to 34-year-old males. And they're not buying granite countertops. Bob Miller, on the other hand, this baby boom guy, voice of Portland, much smaller audience size in terms of total listenership, but like 70% of his audience was our demographic. And so we were able to spend about a third of the amount of money and reach astronomically more of our target demographic. And so that's how you evaluate channels. You look at the cost of the channel relative to the number of target market people in that audience. So number three, step three in, or the third step in the seven essential steps to successful advertising is determining the minimum frequency. Now, this is really, really important. I've spent tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars learning this facet of advertising. So this is huge money right here. If you haven't wasted your money yet, don't listen to this. I've spent the money, so just learn from what I've learned. There are two aspects to the frequency of advertising that are absolutely essential. If you don't follow these, you are literally wasting your money. So there's the short-term and the long-term frequency consideration. Now, let's deal with the short-term first. Short-term would be, let's say you have a daily newspaper in your area. You could advertise every day. You could advertise every week. You could advertise every other week. You could advertise once a month. So based on the readership, you would need to establish up front what is the acceptable short-term frequency. How often do my ads need to run so that the people in my target market are likely to see them? Because not everybody reads the paper every day. Not everybody reads the same section of the same newspaper every single day. Radio is the same thing. What we found is that during the drive time on the radio stations that we've advertised in, from 5:30 to like 8:30 in the morning, 3:30 to 6 in the afternoon, that's considered the drive time. And just a little aside here, that's the only time you want to be advertising on the radio if you're considering it. The rest of the day, nobody's listening. Not in the concentration that is necessary to get your money out of. We found that we had to run approximately 7 to 10 ads per week during the drive time on a single station. Even though people are creatures of habit and they tend to listen to the same station at the same time every day, even if they're doing that, they're taking phone calls, they're maybe changing channels, whatever the issue might be, you've got to run a certain number of ads in that same time frame. So the short term for radio was 7 to 10 spots per week per channel during the drive time. Internet's the same way. If you've got to run enough ads frequently enough to where your demographic is going to see them. So the short-term frequency, oftentimes we will defer to the advertising professionals and say, what does your data show? What do you think? How many ads do we need to run in the short term so that our target demographic is going to see them? So that's the short term. The long-term consideration, and this is where you've got to rely on your homework. You've got to rely on the foundational work that you have done to make this advertising decision, because the reality is most small business owners don't run their advertising long enough for it to work. So this is the long-term consideration for frequency. You see, if you run a single ad in a single magazine one time, you will virtually get nothing out of it. If you run ads on the radio, even if you've got the appropriate weekly frequency, if you only run those for 6 or 8 weeks, 100% of the money you have spent is wasted. Here's why. And this is why the long-term consideration for frequency is so critical. Your advertising is never going to compel somebody who is not already thinking about granite countertops to buy. You are not going to run your message across somebody's eyeballs on the computer screen or on the TV, in their ears, over the radio. If they're not already thinking about granite or quartz countertops, nothing you can do to advertise will change that fact. Advertising does this. It puts your message in front of your target market, i.e. your demographic, long enough so that when they do get ready to buy your product, you're the one they call. So this is why long-term frequency is so important. If you don't sustain your advertising long enough for that audience to get to the place where they are in the market for granite countertops, your advertising is completely wasted. So you've got to establish a long-term commitment. For some of them, it's 6 months. Radio, it's 3 to 6 months before you begin to see the fruits of that investment. TV, I found, is a little bit shorter. Its impact seems to be much more direct. But even print advertising is the same. People have got to see it enough times to where it registers, and they've got to see it long enough, or your advertising has to continue long enough till they get to that point where they are ready to buy. And they go, oh, yeah, I've seen that ad 100 times. Pick up the phone and call, visit your website, or drop into your showroom. And so the third step is determining the minimum frequency. You've got to run enough ads in the short term, and you've got to run your advertising long enough, sustained, consistent, ongoing advertising until you reach that point where enough of the people in your target market in that channel are of the mind to buy granite countertops. So that's the third step. Fourth step is reevaluating your budget. Now, if you started out and said, I got $2,000 to spend, and the radio that you want to advertise on says, well, for you to reach your minimum frequency, it's $3,000 a month to run enough ads to get a high enough concentration of your message to your target market, you've got a decision to make. You've either got to figure out how you can increase your budget to reach that minimum threshold of frequency in the short term, or you're better off not doing it. So if you have identified a channel, the most cost-effective channel, the channel with the most concentration of your target market for the least cost, if your budget does not allow you to afford that minimum frequency, you've got to make that decision. Either increase the budget or don't bother, because it's a complete waste of money. So number four is reevaluate your budget. The fifth step in the 7 essential steps to successful advertising for stone shops. Well, I'll say that 3 or 4 times quickly. Number 5 is creating your message. Now, your message, as you know, if you've listened to the previous episode, the message has got to align with your customer's needs. Whatever it is that your target market values, your message has got to align with that. So in terms of your overall messaging, that's your sort of theme, if you will. But beyond that, there are 3 aspects to successful advertising that if you remove any one of them, the effectiveness of the ad is going to diminish, you know, like exponentially. So here are the 3 aspects you've got to include in your messages or your messaging to your target market. The first thing is that you have got to have a call to action. There literally has to be the wording or the phrase, call today, visit our website, call now, visit our showroom. Whatever it is, there has got to be a brief, straightforward, unequivocal statement of the next step. They've seen the ad. I want granite countertops. Now what do I do? You've literally, I know this sounds simplistic. I know this sounds almost insultingly simple. You have to have it. Call to action. The second component you've got to have is an offer. My old coach used to call it a WIFM. WIFM is W-I-F-M. What's in it for me? The customer has got to recognize. Now, this, I'm not a psychologist. I don't even consider myself a salesperson. But I can tell you after 15 years of advertising and probably $500,000 expended, if you don't have an offer listed on your advertising, within your message, the ad, I don't know what the percentage is, but the effectiveness drops by half or maybe more. And we've played with all kinds of different offers. And I can tell you right now, the most effective offer we've ever made, and 100% of our advertising right now has this offer. Buy now and receive $500 off of your project. That $500 off is the offer. That's what's in it for them if they call. If I call, I get 500, that's 500 bucks in my pocket. Fantastic. So that's the second component to this. The third component is it has to be time sensitive. If it's completely open-ended and they can dilly-dally and wait around for months and months and months, well, it's going to be less effective. This is called the fear of loss. We as human beings, for whatever reason, when an offer is presented to us that's going to disappear in 3 days or in a week or in 2 months, for whatever reason, there is something that is triggered within our minds that says, I don't want to lose that $500. So having that limited time aspect is critical. Spring promotion, $500 off. Summer sale, $500 off. Buy counters by May 31st. Whatever it is, those are the 3 aspects to creating your message. Step number 6. Now, this is touchy, because it almost sounds like I'm saying 2 different things. A lot of advertising channels will require, or they will present to you, a 6 to 12 month agreement. Some of them will make it sound as though it is ironclad and something you simply cannot get out of it, which to a certain degree is really good because it helps the buyer of the advertising stick with it long enough for it to work. Advertisers know that small business owners have limited funds to spend, and when they spend that money and don't see immediate results, the temptation is, the natural reaction is to say, it's not working. I can't waste any more money. The fact is you've got to stick with it long enough for it to work. But I recommend you sign those agreements with an escape clause. That if after 6 months it is simply, clearly, unmistakably not working, maybe they didn't tell you everything, maybe their demographic data isn't as good as you thought it was. If after 6 months it's clear that it's not working, you need to write into that an escape clause. So you're not tied into spending that money for 12 months or longer if you're not getting your money's worth. So number six is negotiate an escape clause. Lastly, step seven is measuring the effectiveness. Now, when I say measuring, I have to bring up what I already mentioned, the fact that advertising is more art than science. There is only so much ability to scientifically measure the effectiveness of your advertising. Trust me, I've tried. We have ruthless systems within our sales department for measuring where our leads come from. Even customers don't know sometimes how they heard about you. I remember back when we were advertising on the radio being told and literally being in an argument with a customer who said they'd seen us on TV. And I knew we had never, in however long we'd been at business at that point, we had never advertised on TV. And this customer was convinced. She could not be persuaded otherwise that she had not seen us on TV. So measuring is art. Mostly art, a little bit science, but you have to measure. If you're not already doing this, this is the seventh essential step. You've got to be asking every single customer that calls you or walks into your showroom, one of the first questions you ask them is, by the way, would you mind telling me how you heard about us? And you got to write that down so that you have some semblance of idea of how well and when your advertising is working. Because at a certain point, it will show up in the data. You have to be measuring it to be informed and to be managing your resources effectively. If you're not paying attention, if you're not asking people how they heard about you, you cannot possibly know whether or not the advertising is working long term. So that's the seventh step, asking people how they heard about you so you can measure the effectiveness of your advertising. So that's it. The seven essential steps to effective and successful advertising for stone shops. So ladies and gentlemen, my fellow fabrication shop owners, that concludes this second episode on the topic of successful advertising for stone shops. So if you're considering growing your business by advertising, go back and listen to the previous episode, episode 7, on the foundational principles. Listen to this episode again. Make sure you're working off of a plan and working off of those principles before you give in to a great sales pitch by an advertising salesperson. And make sure that you check back in with us next week for episode 9. I'm going to discuss the third and final episode on this subject called Mistakes I've Made That You Should Avoid. I've made so many mistakes as it relates to advertising. It will be worth your time to listen to that so that you can avoid them. So in the meantime, make sure you check out fabricatorsfriend.com, and we will talk with you later.